Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Welcome to Opening the Doors of Heaven with Alvin. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations and a glimpse into the world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here is your host, Alvin.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Well, some of you, I suppose, it is good morning. But as the announcer said, wherever you are, very, very much welcome. And today has been a fun day, as for those of you that follow me along on Twitter have seen, in some instances, in that I've been preparing for the Christmas part coming in. However, I want to apologize in advance. I have been through incredible spiritual experiences today, and at times like this, I have a hard time speaking, and especially, actually, it went on right up until the show, and it started in the night and has not let up much. So I've had just one massive vision, and things have changed in the cosmos and things that I have been privy to. So in advance, if I am stuttering or I seem like I am a little slow tonight in terms of that my head feels just profoundly empty because of the expansion that I'm experiencing within. So I want to just alert you to that, and we'll do the best that we can. So we wanted to speak tonight about the holy cities. We wanted to speak about the 100 windows within the Great Hall of the Holy City, and the way that humanity can help materialize it. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to tackle prior to going into these subjects, because some of this I have actually, in some way or another, covered on the show before, so I hope to give you sort of background information that we haven't covered before. First of all, I want to explain about geometry, because the windows we are going to talk about, my brothers and sisters, are not just any design because they're pretty. They deal with basic geometry. You speak about alchemy as an equation, a mathematical equation, but alchemy also has a geometry to it. And the geometry is not the three-dimensional geometry that we are so very far behind on in our comprehension. The 3D geometry changed years ago as we moved up in ascension. Let's start with the old geometries and see where we've come to. Because the actual fact of it is that these windows that we are about to discuss is the geometry of alchemical equations that then move into creative principles. So it's one of those nights that I'm tackling a very abstract topic and I'm not having a very easy time of explaining things tonight. Let us try from the beginning. When we were in the depths of the dream, the infinite dream, which was actually at the deepest part like a coma, when we were in that very dream, deep dream state, the infinite feminine, so hence the mother, was the one that was active in that part of the dream. That is why over the past years I have been working with the mother. Well, in that dense dream state, there was great forgetfulness, and we were asleep. It was like the focusing on a spot. And I remember being in Ireland and discussing it with you as an ink spot on a piece of paper. And if you look at that ink spot with absolute focus, eventually you have nothing around you existing, just you and the ink spot. The geometry we have been working with is that limiting. So the old geometry that we dealt with had angles, and it had joints. We went through a massive recreation of the cosmos, And I describe it in Ring of Truth. And the Ring of Truth, by the way, is a very important changeover point when cosmically there was a reversal of poles. And I described there a geometry and how it formed, but there was a geometry preceding that. And the time before when a very large transfiguration cosmically happened was in October of 2005. I was working very actively with many, many beings from the hidden realms, and all of a sudden, they were all gone. It was like a massive soup swirling around the planet, and humanity on the planet was all that was left, and that is because of our density. And at one point, even the planet became like a ball of light. I remember it well. I was actually quite perturbed because I'd never experienced anything like it, and I didn't know what was going on, and nobody was talking to me. So, but that happened in October of 2005. When creation happened from that point on, because at one point we entered into this new form of geometry that had no angles and no joints. Now, I will take just a few minutes to tell you how creation was formed with that geometry and how it actually lives and breathes. It's a moving geometry. And the next level that happened in August, you can see in the Ring of Truth, and there also you will find, you know, that it's a whole new form of geometry. But in this instance, it was as though there was a note and a line formed, and there was another note and another line formed of light, and they were going in opposite directions, one above the other, but they didn't touch. The top line, let's call that a green line. Let's call the bottom one the red line. So the top line started to form a 120-faceted polyhedron. Now, if you want to know what a polyhedron is, it's like a soccer ball, but the pentagons, let's take the pentagons and make little points of them. You make a line to the middle, and then the middle is raised. You would have, in each of those pentagons, you would have five sides. If you're taking it from the corners, you would have five sides, so you would have five stellated tips. The total of this geometric shape, like a vast soccer ball, but with little tips on it, had 120 facets. That was the green line. The red line formed 144 facets. This is the cosmos forming. Formed 144 facets. Right before the 122-faceted polyhedron, which was much larger, that the red one, right before it closed itself completely, the red one was sucked into its middle, and it started to spin. As it spun, it emanated light. And the Star Brothers have told me that if we understand these principles, this really is a description of a free energy device. I don't know how that works, but that is what they say. The 144-faceted polyhedron started spinning in the middle of the 120-faceted with its little tips to the outside. The lines, the rays of light shot out of them. And I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, I cannot quite remember how many they were, but I remember that they came out of the valleys of these, of the spinning red one. Because, you know, there's valleys and there's little peaks. So they're coming out of the valleys. I believe that there was something like 48 of them. Let me just ask Mother how many there were, please. Kishkaye kirnaku iche, anasvai kis kava, She says at that stage, there were 48, but later there were 96. So as we progressed upwards, there was another remake and 96. There were 96 rays of light coming out. At this point, there were 48. As it kept spinning, the rays of light made little points. And then they became, let's say you take 48, you cluster it in eight groupings, you would have six rays of light. So now they clustered, they made their own little point out in a field around the spinning red polyhedron, and there they make one line of light. A field forms right there where they merge. And again, the Star Brothers have told me that if we understand it correctly, they say we have very poor understanding of gravity, but they say the field that forms there is a gravitational field, whatever that means. I'm so sorry, but they tell me these things, but I'm not sure always what they mean. This is quite a while ago. So my brothers and sisters, it start those rays, it's the 48 make six rays, they start to bounce. And they bounce, but they want to go back to the polyhedron that's spinning in the middle, but they can't get through the field. That field makes an impenetrable shield where they leave, but they can't get back in. And so they start to move in shapes like a dance between the wall of the outer polyhedron and that field that's, you know, between the one that spins and the one that's stationary around it. Now, they make all of our sacred geometrical shapes. They make all of our plutonic shapes, except they have no angles and they have no joints. When they go, it bounce against the edges of the outer polyhedron. They actually loop as they bounce off of it. Not even there as they bounce back do they make an angle. They bounce in a loop, a small little loop right against the wall, and off they go at another trajectory. So there's this wonderful dance of rays of light that is between the two. And as the rays bounce, eventually they make a Vesica Pisces. Now, for those of you that get National Geographic, you would have seen some years ago the beautiful images of the Horseshoe Nebula. What you have when you look at the Horseshoe Nebula, as seen through the Hubble telescope, is the exact image of the polyhedron with the rays making a Vesica Pisces, with the spinning one in the middle, with the rays of light coming out, and there's a field, and then they become one, and they create this beautiful pattern. You have seen the Horseshoe Nebula. However, the polyhedron that's around the outside, the green one, the stationary one, has to accommodate an oval shape when those rays make a Vesica Pisces. And so it stretches into an oval. Every third time of stretching into an oval, because the rays of light make a very predictable change of patterns. So every third time that they make a Vesica Pisces and stretch this polyhedron, the tips of the polyhedron have 12 places open. And the light pours out, it makes a loop, and it starts the entire pattern. Each little light ray that leaves starts the whole pattern over again. So life becomes more and more complex and more small in forming itself. This is dynamic geometry, the way that the cosmos was made. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll explain to you why light no longer moves that way. And so what are we looking at when we're looking at these windows in the Holy City?
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Naomi.
So my brothers and sisters, the way that light moved linearly is no longer applicable. The reason is that as long as anything moved along a line of light, there was the problem that we had linear time. And when we had linear time, innocence and purity was lost, perpetrators arose. So with a very concerted effort, the Infinite Mother in the dream state did away one thing after the other that linearly moved. Windows into Eternity is now finally up on my website, electronically available. It's gone to the printers, but we won't get that back till next year. So if you're in a hurry for it, you can download it right straight off our website, which is www.spiritualjourneys.com. But my brothers and sisters, you will see how the massive, massive macrocosmos, which means it's beyond our cosmic limits, our cosmos looked like a little cluster in it. How it was actually formed from mother's DNA. From one cell, this vastness was projected. And so there's many fantastic insights, just beautiful, beautiful insights that mother allowed us to have about her being. And then there are a lot of prophecies for our day and time, as well as the mysteries of the white dove, that's in that book as well. But what I am specifically referring to is the ways along which cosmos has traveled. They traveled along a spiral. The spiral was mother's DNA. And this also was done away, because even after light had ceased moving in the real reality, my brothers and sisters, humanity has a way of keeping illusory forms in place that, you know, it's getting less and less and less and less because so many things are put in place to eliminate it. But we may still see light move such and such a way if we believe that it will. However, the real reality behind that has been taken away. We are, in fact, no longer in a cosmos or in a reality where anything with light is moving linearly. The other thing that has changed with light is that it is combined with frequency. these sacred windows. There are 96 actual windows, and then two on one double door and two on the other door, double door, that also look, like windows, but they're part of a door. So we've got a total of 100 of them. They give frequency. They also give light in the form of color. They have geometric shapes in them without angles and without joints. And what they're describing is the quality of fields of light. When there's a field of light, what is the difference? When light moves linearly, it takes time. Hence, it creates linear time for it to travel from one place to the other. If light is in fields, it is exponentially and immediately everywhere. And so it's telepathic, and somebody can telepathically think something 100 miles away, and if you pick it up, it's in real time. It's as they think it that you hear it. There's not a delay. That's the way light moves now. It is telepathic and also empathic because it's inseparable from its frequency component. Light is like frequency made visible. Frequency is like light made audible. So all linear movement was removed, and this was so that we would cease to have linear time. My brothers and sisters, how did these lines begin? How did they form in the first place? Now, I've been in very strange time warps today. Like our first quarter, I don't know where it went. It was for me 5 minutes long and then it was gone. But let me try in 5 minutes to explain to you how linear light, linear progression, linear anything formed in the first place. I have said that this was like the mother stood between two mirrors. But how did those mirrors get there? That's the issue that we have never before discussed. So let's try and discuss that. When I was in South Africa, the facilitator there had in fact had a stroke in her spine. And the stroke in the spine was just like a stroke in the brain, and it caused all sorts of issues with her movement and her balance, and they thought she would never walk, actually, but she did. And incredibly brave individual, and she did. She made herself walk. But it's like the mother's spine. Let's just think of the mother's having form between the shoulder blades, went into a stroke. What the stroke did, and now exactly what happened to cause this stroke, I've been peeling this like an onion for weeks. Every time I think I'm at the core, there's another layer. However, that there is some sort of trauma that happened, one of the layers, for example, was the trauma of a contradiction occurring for the first time inside the infinite's being. The infinite learned a new skill. The skill was to focus. The infinite asked, is this life enhancing? That is the only question for anything in existence. Is this life enhancing or is that more life enhancing? Or is it not? So the point is, for anything to be not, is not a reality. It's an illusion. How can anything form within a being that is complete purity that is not life-enhancing? The thought created a contradiction. The question created a thought, and thought takes us out of the moment. Linear time started to be forming, and the next thing that happened is innocence and purity was lost, and the infinite went into shock. Something inside split, and geometry, like the flower of life spheres, happened within. That geometry is trauma-based. It is nevertheless a splitting. It might be spherical versus linear, but it is still part and parcel of the old geometry that is illusion-based. The flower of life sphere does not exist where there's wholeness. It happened, though, within the infinite being, and it happened because of the trauma. I had a very wonderful young man on the in the Colorado pod, and I think I mentioned him to you before, because he had four very severe injuries and earned four Purple Hearts for his tremendous courage and bravery. And he came to my class with bullet holes and scars and bayonet in the foot scar and all sorts of very severe injuries. And after the fourth day that he jumped up in class and he just couldn't contain himself. And we asked him what was the matter, and he took his shirt off and he said, "Look, there's no scars left. There's nothing left." And he actually shows us that on camera. And I don't know if we were able to catch the witnesses that knew him for quite some time that said on the camera, "For sure, we have seen these wounds, and no, they're completely gone now." One of these wounds stuck in my mind a lot and provided the answer of how those mirrors formed. And incidentally, his story is on YouTube, I believe. If you can't find it there, it should be on the AlmeenHealing.com website, I believe. So my brothers and sisters, he had a bayonet sever. It's either the muscle or the tendon or something right above the knee. It shot up into a ball in the hip. Very, very severe. Went right through it. And that scar, incidentally, he shows you on there, is completely gone. And, you know, this Marine is not somebody who's going to make up stories. He's seen it all. And we saw it as he came in, the scars, because he took his shirt off earlier in the week to show us something, a tattoo he had or something that was of significance to him. So my brothers and sisters, it's a bit like that, what happened to the infinite. The trauma of the first thought and innocence lost caused a portion of awareness to contract. And as it contracted, like the ball of the muscle shooting up into the hip from the injury, it became too dense for light to pass through. Light bounced off of it. Well, when light bounces off something, you have a mirror. The infinite being had a portion of itself trapped inside this ball that formed, that where light could not go through, and it became reflective. And that is the dream. This is a literal translation of how the dream took place. And we were caught in the dream. In fact, we were created in the dream. The infinite being's portion that was inside this ball that formed from parts of its awareness was stuck in a ball of mirrors. If you look sideways in a ball of mirrors, you go forever in that direction. Every direction you look, you go forever. If you're in a ball of mirrors, if you look over your shoulder, you go forever. Those images in the mirror created a line of space, the first ever to form. And linear geometry was born out of illusion, a mirror. A mirror mirrors backwards. So now the further compounded problem arose that the infinite being inside the ball, it's actually the masculine component that formed the ball because a linear mind formed. And within it was trapped the feminine. So for the first time, the feminine looked in the mirror. The mirror mirrors backwards, didn't know what it was and what it wasn't, thought that was what it was. An illusion was born. If we don't know by holding a newspaper up to the mirror that the mirror reverses the print, we won't know that the way we see our face is not really the way it is. So for the infinite, mother did not know that was being mirrored to her was in fact not what she was. It was backwards. The first time she figured out exactly what she was and what she wasn't was when the dramatic shift cosmically happened that prompted the book The Ring of Truth, and it happened in 2006 in August. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The book, A Life of Miracles, Mystical Keys to Ascension. This book is deeply inspiring and motivational in its content. It is unique in its field of making man's relationship as a microcosm to the macrocosm, understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. Its detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, ascension. Almine's gift as a mystic are a revelation to all who know her. She is an international phenomenon and certainly deserves to be. That's from His Excellency, Sir Koval Young, Governor General of Belize in Central America. What a priceless experience to be able to catch a glimpse into one of the most remarkable lives of our time. This book is bound to have an indelible impression. That's from the Ambassador Armin Sarkeesian, former Prime Minister of the Republic of Armenia. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almine, Spiritual, Journeys, Journeys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Key series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almine at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almin. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almin.
Welcome back. And my brothers and sisters, we finally exited the dream. In about October, we were still half asleep, and since then, layer by layer, and this is October 2008, layer by layer, the awakening has happened. We got free of those mirrors. Only once the Infinite Mother realized what was going on, and she said, they cannot bind me, they are illusory, and I cannot be bound by illusion, and basically she overcame this linear mind by expanding beyond it. Not dissimilar of what happens to a human when they enter mastery, which means they have the option to be silent and they have expanded beyond the confines of their linear mind. So if we take a look at the hall in the holy cities that the masters and oracles have gone back and forth, and what I want to tell you why they disappeared and were recreated, but it pertains to the mirrors. It happened at the stages when right before the place where we woke up. So it happened the beginning of September. The holy cities, my brothers and sisters, had materialized in multiple places all over the earth. There's one over the Soweto area in Johannesburg. There's one by Cape Town in Namaqualand. There is one over Ethiopia. There was over Jerusalem. There were two in the United States, one over Colorado, one over Oregon, and on and on. They were in every single country, all the way down to Santiago, Chile, just everywhere. So these holy cities formed as a prelude to the eventual time when the whole earth would have this alternate reality. I mentioned before that our beloved brother, the Master Tim, was in Toronto and was able to catch. Now, we've photographed it before, but it's never been as good as the one he took. He was able to take a few photographs, some of the gold detailing on the city, the pillars, the windows with light. And as I said before, we were actually in a hall where there was no windows and there certainly were no pillars. And you can see them on the photographs. I believe we have some on my daily blog. I believe that we have got some on the www.ancientshamanism.com. And incidentally, very good news, I had yesterday a little note from the Master Hong An, our beautiful oracle that does our websites, and she said that Way of the Nagual .com, www.wayofthenagual.com is up. And my brothers and sisters, this is very pertinent because you will find there a lot of the geometries that we've been speaking of in holy symbols. The wayofthenagual.com is geared to immortality. The Nagwals have taught that you can slip by death if you know how to do it. And some of the ancient Toltec traditions that predates the last deluge that we had 9,564 years prior to the crucifixion date that's been set, there was prior to that. This comes from this information on immortality and the Toltec Nagual teachings concerning it. So please take a look on there. But on the ancientshamanism.com is where we have the photos that Tim took, because that was the week we were gathering the information for it. So my brothers and sisters, if we take a look at these cities, they embody principles that we need to remember. For example, the city here over Oregon, and it's actually come down on the land, so oftentimes the oracles can feel the walls, sometimes they can see the walls that is there. But the holy city here has, for example, on the marble floor, it has the middle mind, the map of the middle mind. And then it has, for the high mind, it has, again, a map, no angles, no joints. And so, you know, these maps are etched into it, and the human body embodies it. So these 96 plus 4 windows that are around the massive round-shaped with domes. There's a large blue stained glass dome in the middle. There are smaller stained glass domes around it. Oracles in my classes and the masters in my classes are often able to go back and forth to the city. They often meet one another there before someone even decides they need to be at one of my pods. The oracles have often already seen them in the city. They go together. They meet each other there. They come back. They have the same descriptions. Some of the oracles, before they even knew each other, I know the Oracle Denisa and the Oracle Aoife, before they even introduced to one another, they had the same experiences, the same descriptions of the 12 small domes around the one large dome, and the one large dome having what Denisa called something that looked like a star map. Aoife said the same thing, and then Mother said, no, to me, that's not a star map. That's actually the map of higher mind. So what do these 96 plus 4 represent? They represent DNA codes that we have within us. And my brothers and sisters, you use them in the divine architect creative principle. If you go to the Divine Architect Creative Principles, www.divinearchitectcreativeprinciples.com, you will see the windows that I'm speaking of, and you will see how you can actually use them to create in your life. We've given you, it's a very comprehensive work website, but even so, it's only the first layer. There are 54 layers of information on these divine architect creative principles. Now, these windows, let's just take a look at this. You see, I've spoken before about the rose. Now, the best place for you to see it is on my blog, Daily Diary. So, you know what, you can just look on my website's page, which leads you to all my different websites. And my home site is www.spiritualjourneys.com. And if you go to the page that leads you to my other sites, it will show you how to get onto the blog. The rose that we have, I've described multitude of times that it represents the unique mathematical sequence that in higher life replaces the Fibonacci sequence. The rose's outer two layers of petals, the sixth layer of petals and the seventh layer of petals. The sixth layer of petals has 33 petals in it. And then the next layer, the seventh layer of petals out on this rose, has 54 petals in it. If you look at masonry, masonry has been talking about the divine architect. The divine architect is the capstone of mystical information for manifestation of purity. And they've even got the all-seeing eye on it. And I will explain to you what those all-seeing eyes meant, because they meant the images in the mirror that Mother saw as she was trapped in this ball of mirrors. They were very, very hostile, those eyes that, you know, have no corner. There's the all-seeing eye that was used by both the alchemists and by the divine architect practitioners. They were the watchers. They were the images in the mirror, and they were hostile to life, and they were very hostile to the ascension and to the Infinite Mother. They were backwards from her benign life-enhancing qualities. So in masonry, there's the 33 degrees. There are 33 petals in the second last layer of petals on this rose. The 33 petals that are there, that is the alchemy ring. The alchemy through the ages was entrusted to the Rosicrucian. Father Rosicrucian was an immortal master, actually. And I have here in my sacred chamber where I'm sitting as I speak, the Albrecht Dürer's four apostles. Albrecht Dürer painted the four apostles. They actually were the founders of Rosicrucianism, all four of them immortal masters. How did they achieve that? Through alchemy. The Rosicrucians were given alchemy to guard by Isis. But when you progress through the different layers, the 33 layers of alchemy, and you graduated from your 33rd degree, you entered the Mason's realms, and that was the realms of the divine architect. Those are creative principles. My brothers and sisters, through the ages, it has become so watered down, so corrupted, because it relied on the images in the mirrors, the watchers that watched the matrices of space. And they have been entirely eliminated. Matrices have been, and let's call them matrices, that's a more correct term, have been eliminated. Grids have been eliminated. They're all part of linearity. So none of those old principles so jealously guarded by any of those groups work. So that's why these new bodies of information have been coming through, and I've been giving them to you. They're totally free, and they're on my websites. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I will tell you what happened with the holy cities, with the Watchers and why Mother had to finally completely dissolve those cities.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
On your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back to our final quarter here, my brothers and sisters. So, Mother had not understood treachery when in the dream. And she did not understand that the contracts that she made with these watchers, and in the old alchemist's wheels, and incidentally, the information on alchemy is in wheelsofthegoddess.com. It's where we give the sacred secrets of alchemy. We show you what those old wheels look like. They had 16 eyes around the edge. They had the eye in the middle. And those stood for layers of grids that could be found in the Tree of Life, which was the four directions that we entered into as we went really deep into the fall. And those watchers were asked by Mother to keep certain secrets safe for her, to remind her of things. Contracts had to be fulfilled. None of them ever fulfilled a single contract. And what happened is that she asked them to help assist to get the holy cities organized. And they moved in. They impersonated Mother, and they started sending the oracles on the wildest goose chases that you can imagine. They sent them all over the place to bring them gemstones. They were searching for the codes of creation. And the codes of creation, my brothers and sisters, were kept in the core of the earth, in the crystalline core that is the earth's core. There's a blue light there. It's called the Blue Light Library. And it's from there that we pull, if you take a look at the divine architect principles that work with these windows, it's from there that these codes of existence are pulled through the windows and out into areas where you wish to materialize it. So the watchers had taken over the cities. They could not enter the holy places where Mother had put all these very sacred objects. Why did she put them there? In my humble opinion, some of them were decoys, because it is my brother Scott in Ohio, and he's possibly listening tonight, an impeccable master and Nagual. And it is the Nagual Scott that found the stone with the codes in. It wasn't one of the gemstones. It was an ordinary stone that kept the codes, for example, of magic. It was lying on the side of the Serpent Mound. And he brought it to me, and all the hair on my body just stood straight up. I could feel my neck hair standing up, and my arm hair was starting to stand up. And my brothers and sisters, this stone contained the magical codes. And so what happened is they were trying to find them. They couldn't get into places where only the pure in heart could get in. So they impersonated Mother and started sending several of the oracles. And they kept them so busy day and night, bringing them stones, bringing them gemstones and so on, while they sat in Mother's palaces, impersonating her and doing everything they can from keeping humanity from bridging that gap into this pristine and beautiful reality that we're now starting to photograph. My brothers and sisters, how can we help to materialize them? There's a quick answer and there's a slightly longer answer. Let me give you the quick answer first. It is through adoration in action. That is, in fact, how we're supposed to do it. What is adoration? Adoration is actually part of an alchemical equation. If you take light plus love and you combine it together, which, as I said earlier in the show, was recently done, you end up with an equation that is adoration. We are living because light and love were combined. The cosmic equation currently is one of adoration. However, if you add love and praise and gratitude together, you come up with adoration in action. In other words, we can sit somewhere day and night worshiping the Mother with our heart, singing songs to her. We're in a state of adoration, but it's not something, although it will absolutely make those cities come closer. I have seen that people can materialize a city in their location based on the smallest group. In Fairbanks, Alaska, there were three masters only. We had a situation where, you know, I had a class there, and havoc was wreaked there. We won't even go into it. There were three left. Those faithful masters, with their love and their praise and their gratitude, materialized the Fairbanks, Alaska, holy city. And so as this happened, we can do it also. Now, they didn't materialize it so we can see it, but they brought it forth. It actually came through a time tunnel to Fairbanks, Alaska. The city that is above Fairbanks, Alaska is very unique, as is the one above Johannesburg. The one above Johannesburg is the original city from which the very first creations were made in the very deep part of the dream, where the first gods and goddesses of the throne were formed. And when that happened, that city remained, because even if we close dream states down, the cities would remain. There was no way they would close down. So Mother brought that one forward to Johannesburg. But my brothers and sisters, it looks like an architecture you would see for a fairy palace in the roots of a tree. It's organic. It has no lines in terms of angles and joints. It's organic. It's very heavily bejeweled, which I haven't seen so much in the other cities. Like the one above Oregon is mostly gilt. There's wonderful jeweled things, but they are they're mostly in the repository. This city had an exotic look to it. The one above Fairbanks, Alaska, is described in The Gift of the Unicorns, second half. In that second half, I took dictation, as I was given, the past history of the planet by the history keepers, namely the Darklings. They're a race of very exquisite beings that are called the Darklings because they hid in the dark areas of the ocean during the time of the fall. The Darklings kept the history, and they say that there was a time when the land masses were together and Mother's primary holy city was in the middle of those land masses. That's before the earth tilted. They also tell you why it tilted, how it tilted, and so forth. before the Earth tilted, Fairbanks, Alaska, wasn't where it is now. It was more towards the center bulge of the Earth. And at that time, it was that city was the center of the, what do you call it, Pangaea landmass that was one landmass on Earth. This is where that city comes from. Each city is unique. Eventually, the entire Earth is scheduled, is due to become a holy city. Love and praise and gratitude, which is adoration in action, will bring them forth. And Mother has said she has done everything. She has brought her children out of the dream. Now it's our turn. If we want heaven on earth, we have to start to live it. My brothers and sisters, I have come to the end of tonight's show, and I just want to remind you we have our Christmas pod next year for any of you that do things on the spur of the moment. We're going to have a wonderful time, and so if any of you can fly over here to Oregon and join us, we would love to have you. We're going to have absolute parties, and it's going to be a very festive gathering of oracles. The oracles are flying in from several countries. And so we are anticipating a very beautiful event. Next year, we have some great, great opportunities for you to see the world and come to our pods. We have one in the Dutch Antilles Islands, which is in the West Indies, and in Curacao. And we have got, I believe, one coming up in Paris. And we're hoping to do one in Malaysia. If we get enough people there that would be willing to do it. We have our usual ones in Ireland, and Ireland is the hub. People come from all over the world to be there. So we hope to see one of you one of those times in our pods. And until we do, my love to you always, and I'll be with you again next week.
Hope you have enjoyed today's show, Opening the Doors of Heaven with Armin. You can listen every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on Sedona Talk Radio. That's every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll see you next week.